The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Don't you love those words? They're beloved words. They're wonderful words. They're very familiar words. They've been pronounced on God's people in places of worship and in times of gathering thousands and thousands of times. It's often used, these words, as a formal benediction. I looked up the definition of benediction, a formal utterance or bestowing of a blessing. Well, we're looking at one. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. We often call it the blessing. And these, as I've been meditating on these words these last 10 days or so, they're so familiar. I think I heard them, I probably personally heard them hundreds of times before I realized they were in the scripture. They were God's word. They are music to my ears, and I hope they are to yours. As I think about it, I want to borrow a phrase from the book of Proverbs, apples of gold in settings of silver. I mean, this is a beautiful blessing. And when we say music to our ears, obviously it's been set to music many, many times over the centuries. And we just enjoyed our worship team singing it to us. And we're going to get to again. But I tell you, they are wonderful words. And they're words of substance because they aren't just man's platitudes. They're the very word of God. I want you to turn there. Turn to Numbers 6, where I'm reading from. Turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 6, and I want to underline for us that these are the very words of God. This is God's blessing on us. I mean, obviously, he's invoking his name, and when we use these words, we're invoking his name, but this is actually the word of God. So let me read the full text. I'm going to read from verse 22 down through 27. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace." So they, Aaron and his sons, so they shall invoke my name, Yahweh says, on the sons of Israel. And I then will bless them. Yeah, they're Aaron's words and Aaron's sons. As the high priest, he was to pronounce these words. He was under orders. And yes, Moses is the one that dictated them to him. He said, here's what I want you to say. But obviously, the Lord is the one who gave these words to Moses. And he said, I want the high priest to invoke these words, invoke my name over my people. And we've been looking in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, and we've realized that all the old pictures in the Old Testament are superseded by our great Savior, Jesus Christ, the superiority of Christ. And in the priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood has been superseded, we could say, by the Melchizedek priesthood or the priesthood of Jesus Christ himself. So I like to envision my high priest, Jesus, using these words, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you, because that's who our high priest is. He's that kind of a God. And in fact, of course, this is his word itself. They're spoken by the Lord. They're using his name, as I said. And did you notice? Look at it again. The threefold repetition of Yahweh, his name. The Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. I can't see that threefold repetition without hearing an echo of the triune God that we worship, the one and only true God who has always been one God in three persons. I can't help but hear the echo of when Isaiah saw the Lord in his glory, and the angels were saying, "Holy, holy, holy." Hundreds of years before Jesus came. And then after Jesus was here, some of the last words written in the Bible in Revelation 4, when John gets a picture of the future, when he gets to look into the vision of what's happening in heaven, still today, a couple thousand years later, the angels are still saying, "Holy, holy, holy. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you." The triune God, it's a threefold blessing. In fact, there's a counterpart in the New Testament. Turn over to 2 Corinthians with me for just a moment. The last verse of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 14. Listen to how Paul closes the letter to the Corinthians. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Now that's a blessing, just like our text in Numbers is. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the koinonia, the partnership, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit who lives within us be with you all. So it's always been God's pattern to pronounce these kinds of blessings on his people. And this blessing, I mean, the triune God is a God of blessing. He's the source of all blessing. We often sing, sometimes we just call it the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. God is the source of all blessings. And this statement of blessing, this benediction, if you will, this, we say the blessing, is because God is that kind of a God. He's the source of all blessing. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And then, of course, the last line of that song, praise him, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Old English, when that was written. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Now, this blessing, if you look at it in your Bible, and I think it's good to, as I said, I didn't even know it was in my Bible for many years because I was raised in a liturgical church where I thought it was just part of the liturgy. And then when I realized, no, this is right from God. When you look at these words, this blessing, these words of blessing, like all real words of blessing, are words of grace, words of protection, and words of peace. And I want to kind of hang our thoughts on that in just a few minutes. But before I do, it's interesting to me that of those three, grace, protection, and peace, in the New Testament, the authors often shortened it to grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if you look in the book of Romans, Corinthians, both Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all the way through the Pauline epistles, you will find this blessing stated, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Two things you and I really need, words of grace and words of peace. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Later, when Paul writes, I checked every one of his epistles, he says this. And interestingly enough, it's not like a closing benediction. It's at the start of the epistle. We think, oh, wow, Romans, it's such a blessing to have the gospel explained on paper, written by God himself. We have the written word of God. And that's such a blessing. And so it's no wonder that the author, the human author, would start by saying, let me bless you. And then the book of Romans is a great blessing. Grace and peace. And the book of Corinthians and the book of Ephesians and every one of these letters. And Peter did the same thing. He used that same phraseology as he wrote his. And in each case, it's at the beginning of the letters. And so this isn't something we just sign off a letter on with or just at the end of a worship service. We can be participating in blessing all the time. But these are words of grace, protection, and peace. And I'd like to, as I said, just kind of have us think about it that way. First of all, look at it. Words of grace. Stop and think about it. A blessing is by definition undeserved, unmerited, not something we earn. It's a blessing. God is a God of gracious blessing. He looked at Adam and Eve and he blessed them in the first chapter of the Bible. He's a God of blessing. He blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. The first psalm starts with this word, blessed is the one who abides in God's word. The first sermon, I probably shouldn't say the first sermon, but when I think of the first and foremost sermon of our Lord when he was here, you open the book of Matthew in the New Testament, and you get to chapter 5, and you come to the Sermon on the Mount. And we looked at the end of it a couple weeks ago, asking ourselves the question, are we building our lives on the rock? Well, it begins. The Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 through 7 of Matthew, begins with a ninefold blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And he starts with nine blessings on those who know him and those who are in right relationship with the Lord. So he's a God of blessing. And when you and I say, and by the way, I would encourage you to say, I am blessed. Look for ways to say that, to verbalize it. I am blessed. When we say, I am blessed, we're not saying, yeah, I lucked out. Or I'm lucky. And we're certainly not saying, yeah, I achieved this. I earned this. Who has first given to him, Paul writes, after explaining the gospel in Romans for 11 chapters. Remember how he closed it there? At the end of chapter 11, he says, who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? We are never able to put God in our debt so that we say, I earned this. No. He's blessed us from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So when you say and when you verbalize it, it's giving praise to God. I am blessed. And it immediately evokes gratitude and thanksgiving. When God chose Abraham and he said, I will bless you. He didn't say, I will bless you because, no, he said, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. And in both times, if you look at it in Genesis 12, he didn't say, because you deserve it somehow, Abraham. No, when God blesses, in fact, Abraham, when God chose Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, the book of Joshua closes by saying, he and his fathers were worshiping other gods. God plucked him out of the darkness of idolatry and said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. And through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. And of course, the Bible unfolds that great blessing throughout the scripture. And I can't help but say, Jesus Christ, the Son of Abraham, is a blessing to any and all who will call upon him. God did bless the whole world through Abraham, and it was a blessing of grace. As I've been thinking on this, I was with some guys the other day, and I was quoting 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Paul asks this question, what do you have that you've not received? And if you have received it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? What a practical application of this. This matter of grace, God's blessing is of grace. What do you have that you haven't received? Let me ask you that. What do you have that you haven't received? If you have received it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? And of course, Paul is applying it right in that Corinthian church. They were tending to get boastful and self-occupied and occupied with each other rather than with Christ. And it's a great antidote to pride and factions to realize that everything is of grace, God's blessing. It's words of grace, and it is of grace. Every good gift comes down from the Father, with whom there is no shifting shadow, James 1, verse 17 says. So no wonder Paul kind of signs off at the end of 11 chapters in Romans by saying, from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. And then notice our text 2 says, the Lord make his face shine on you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you. The Lord turns his face toward you. That's what he's asking for. And it's a Hebraism. And it's pretty clearly, we get the context from it without being Hebrews, we can hear it. But to have the Lord look on you, to have him turn his face toward you, was great blessing. And so he invokes it twice. And again, it's not because you deserve it or I deserve it, but he says, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord turn his face toward you, be favorable toward you. And sometimes I think it's best to see things in, we understand them best when we see the contrast. There's a backdrop, because God isn't blessing just kind of willy-nilly, just bless. And sometimes we almost smile when we hear people say, God bless everyone, God bless you, God bless you. You know, God bless everyone. No, this world, actually, from the moment sin entered the picture right at the beginning of history, this world is under a curse. And a curse is the opposite of blessing. So when you see the joy and the light of God's blessing, sometimes you see it best against the backdrop, the darkness of a curse. Look over at Deuteronomy 31 with me, or just listen to this, but I'd like you to see it if you could. Deuteronomy 31, Moses has led Israel for 40 years, and he's come to his time to die, and he wasn't going to lead them into the promised land. Joshua was going to do that, and it's interesting to hear the opposite of the Lord's face turned toward you. Listen to this scene. Starting at verse 14, Deuteronomy 31, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, the time for you to die is near. Call Joshua and present yourselves at the tent of meeting, that I may commission him. I mean, this is official. Moses, time for you to die is near. Get Joshua, come to my office. You know. So he says, they presented themselves at the tent of meeting. And the Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood at the doorway of the tent. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, you're about to lie down with your fathers, and this people will arise and play the harlot with the strange gods of the land. And into the midst of which they are going, they will forsake me and break my covenant which I've made with them. Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them, and they shall be consumed. Whew, what a contrast. These people, he told Moses, are going to forsake me, and I will hide my face, not turn my face toward them in blessing, but hide my face from them because of the evil and the troubles that will come upon them. So they will say in that day, is it not because our God is not among us that these evils have come upon us? And verse 18, but I will surely hide my face in that day. He says it for the second time. I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they will do. Curse is because. Blessing is not. I point that out, and it's a valuable truth all the way through Scripture. When there's curse going on, it's because you've sinned. When there's judgment, it's because you've merited the judgment. But when God blesses, it's of grace. You can trace that all the way through the Scripture. Salvation is always of God's grace, unmerited. You and I don't deserve His favor, but He blesses us with His favor. Judgment, on the other hand, we're getting what we deserved. We'll get what we merit. So it's a helpful distinction, but I want to underline that God is a gracious God. And because He's gracious, and because He's a God of blessing, He blesses. Because of that, He said, I didn't send the Son into the world. He didn't send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. Jesus said that right after stating the great gospel in John 3:16. He's a God of blessing. And because of that, you and I are to bless. We're commanded to. Romans 12, verse 14 says, bless and curse not. Peter says in chapter 3 of Peter, he says, don't return insult for insult, but give a blessing instead. And by the way, that is so practical. This week, you might have opportunity to be insulted. He says, don't return insult for insult, but rather give a blessing. You say, wow, that would change things at work. That would change things in my home. That would change things in my marriage. By the way, Peter's giving that instruction right after he gives very specific instruction to husbands and wives in marriages. But when he says, bless and curse not, he's calling on us for a supernatural kind of life, because by nature, we curse. By nature, our mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. I got on a plane in Chicago some years ago, and it had been held up by the weather, and I was really just happy to get on the flight. It was one of those things where I got on because there was a big crowd at O'Hare, and everybody was trying to get on the same flight. Everybody had been bumped. I got on, and I didn't care where I sat. I just was happy to get on the flight back to Portland. And I was sitting next to a man, and we got to know each other. He said the same thing, man, I'm glad to get on this flight. And I said, me too. And we talked a little bit. And he was a trauma surgeon, he told me. And he was coming back from back east, where he had, as kind of an avocation, he's not only a trauma surgeon, but he had looked into the crises in four of our presidents when they were assassinated. And often the medicine of the day contributed to their death. Lincoln, Garfield, McKinley, Kennedy. And he had been giving lectures on this, and I had a lot of interest in, I still do, in presidents. And so we had a great conversation talking about this. And he told me how he got into being a trauma surgeon in Vietnam back when he was young. And so it was a very interesting conversation. And I've actually forgotten now how the subject turned to spiritual things. But I remember asking him about his spiritual life. And he kind of opened up, because we'd been talking for some time. And he said, you know, I was raised in the church. I was raised in a church, and I went to Sunday school. And he told me a few things about his spiritual roots. And then he said, you know, I think today I'm agnostic. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. And I said, why? And he kind of paused and he looked at me and he said, I've seen so much. And we'd already talked about the carnage that he'd seen in Vietnam. And he said, I've seen so much of man's inhumanity to man. And he told me in passing that he'd been reading a book that kind of confirmed that skepticism, that agnosticism. And I said, you know, it's interesting you'd say that because I've been reading a book. And he'd pointed at the overhead luggage rack for his book, and I had my Bible handy, and I just pulled it out, and I said, I've been reading this book of Romans. It's a letter of Paul to Romans, and he was interested, and I said, to me, what you said, that you're agnostic because you've seen the bloodshed and the misery, that's actually what the Bible says. And I read him these verses. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. All the ugliness in this world, the mouths full of cursing, ought not surprise us. The Bible teaches that God came to rescue us out of that. And we had a good conversation. But I've often thought of that. The fact that man by nature curses shows us our need for the blessing of God. So these are words of grace, these words of blessing. And then, of course, they're words of protection. Let me just briefly have us look back at Numbers. They're words of protection because he says, the Lord bless you and keep you, shamar, protect, guard, watch over. The Lord keep you. The Lord is a God who keeps us. The 121st Psalm uses this term in just a little short psalm 6 times. And almost to keep it from being repetitious, it's translated keep 3 or 4 times, and it's translated guard, protect, watch over. And it's a beautiful psalm. Just listen to this, because this is who the Lord is. He's not only a blesser, he's a keeper. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. If the Lord isn't guarding the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. The Lord is our keeper. He's the one who watches over us. He's the one who guards us. He will keep us from the evil one. Jesus prayed that in John 17. Keep them from the evil one, and he will keep you in his everlasting arms, his loving, caring arms. The Lord bless you, be gracious to you. The Lord keep you and give you peace. These are words of peace. This blessing is a blessing of peace. Real peace is a gift from God. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. He gives peace, but it's not the kind of peace the world gives. He gives a settled peace because it's founded on the vertical peace with God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And then we can experience the peace of God. where we can cast our anxieties on Him because He cares for you. I'll tell you, today, as I just think about this great blessing that God gave Israel through their high priest, I think these words are still true because they are God's words. And our high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, represents us before the Father. And we can say, oh, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Let's pause and give Him thanks for that. Oh, Lord, as we pause and hear these gracious words, these words of protection and care, these words of peace, we praise You that You are indeed the God who blesses. You didn't send Your Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved. And Lord, we praise You for opening our eyes to the beauty of Your Son. And I praise You that because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we have peace with You. We're no longer at enmity with You. There's no hostility. We're not trying to avoid You. We can run right to You and say, Abba, Father. Oh, thank You for being a God of grace and blessing. Thank You that You're a God who keeps Your own, that You protect and watch over us and guard us. And we say, Lord, we need that. Keep us in Your arms. Keep us in Your grace. Turn Your eyes toward us and bless us today, we pray. And we ask You to give us that peace that surpasses all comprehension, the peace of God, Your peace, Lord Jesus. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.